The Odyssey is a Greek epic poem attributed to Homer. It's one of the most well-known pieces of literature of all time. Odysseus is the hero of the Odyssey. In Homer's Iliad, Odysseus is a key player in the Trojan War, which lasted 10 years. Then the Odyssey tells of Odysseus' 10-year journey home after the fall of Troy in the Trojan War. On his way home, Odysseus and his men encounter various monsters and lots of adventures. Late in the story, they're shipwrecked during a thunderstorm in which all but Odysseus is drowned. He was washed ashore on an island, where Calypso compelled Odysseus to remain with her for 7 years. Calypso was one of the sea nymphs, and her name is related to a Greek word which means to conceal, and she symbolized the forces that divert men from their goals. Finally, the goddess Athena intervened and made Calypso release Odysseus. Calypso had to let him go, and she even helped him build his boat. When Odysseus was leaving the enchanted isle where Calypso lived, Calypso came down to the beach as he was departing on his raft. She said to him, "Say goodbye to me, but not to the thought of me." On the night of his betrayal, Christ was soon to be separated from his disciples. But he told them, if you will, not to say goodbye to the thought of him. In essence, he said, "Keep me in your thoughts." In fact, he left them a memorial that was to be observed every Lord's Day until the Lord himself one day returns to gather his people. That memorial is what we call the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is sometimes referred to as communion, a word meaning participation, partnership, sharing. Paul spoke of the Lord's Supper as a communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. He said, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a communion or a participation," says the New International Version, "in the blood of Christ?" A communion in the blood of Christ. And then he goes on to say, "Is not the bread that we break a communion or a participation in the body of Christ?" The Lord's Supper is a communion with Christ and with all others who share in the blood of Christ. Communion is a time to remember. The bread reminds us of Christ's broken body. The fruit of the vine, the grape juice, reminds us of Christ's shed blood on the cross. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. He said, the text tells us, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then we're told that he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Christians repeatedly return to the memorial table. Christians have done this every Sunday for almost 2,000 years. Every time we return, we are to remember. But why do we keep returning to remember? Well, remembering reminds us of redemption. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25, Paul was talking about the night Jesus was having his last Passover with the disciples, just prior to his betrayal, and he tells us what we just read a few moments ago in Matthew 26. But Paul says, "When Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way," Paul says, "after supper he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" These symbols of Christ's death tell the story of redemption. To redeem is to buy back. It was a word that was used of purchasing the freedom or the release of a slave from bondage. It's a fitting word for all who've been slaves of sin, for whom Christ's blood paid the price to forgive their sins, and to release them, to free them from the bondage and slavery of sin. We sing many songs, many hymns, which remind us that Christ redeemed us. We sing, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." We sing the song entitled, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." Jesus gave his life to buy us back, to set us free from sin, to redeem us. The Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord so his people would have a specific time to remember their suffering Savior, purchasing their pardon. The Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord so his people would have a specific time to remember the price he paid. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, Peter reminds us of what price it was that he paid. He said, "You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed or purchased from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors." Goes on to say, "It was by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." That's the price that was paid. Remembering reminds us of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, Paul said, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Christ is coming back because he was resurrected from the dead. There are three great guarantees in the resurrection. There's the guarantee of our Savior. In Romans chapter 1, Paul was speaking of Jesus, who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared to be the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, he says, our Lord. The resurrection of Jesus is our guarantee that he is the Son of God, which proves his deity, and it's our guarantee that he is our Savior. The resurrection of Christ is the guarantee of our salvation. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 through 18, Paul wrote, "If the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep or who passed on or who died in Christ are lost." The resurrection of Christ is the guarantee of our similar resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 23, Paul goes on to say, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." He says, "For since death came through a man," Adam he's referring to, "the resurrection of the dead also came through a man, Jesus. For as in Adam all die," he says, "so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." There would be no continuing communion without the resurrection. Communion, sharing, participation with a dead man would not make any sense. There would be no church without the resurrection. The church is saved people, people who are in a relationship with the living Savior. We're not just talking about a group of people who regularly meet together to remember someone's death. We're talking about Jesus' followers meeting to celebrate his death and his resurrection. Houdini is probably the most well-known magician of all time. If you pass by a graveyard on the Jackie Robinson Parkway in Queens, New York, you've got 2.5 miles of cemetery ahead of you. Houdini's body is buried there. Every Halloween, devoted followers of Houdini still meet at his grave at MacPelas Cemetery in Queens, New York City. They meet there in anticipation of him performing his greatest escape. They believe he will escape the grave, that he will rise from the dead. But I've got news for them. Houdini will be raised only when all others in the grave are raised. In John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, "A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who've done good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. There would be no hope of heaven without the resurrection. Communion reminds us that we trust and we serve a risen and living Savior. And remembering reminds us of Christ's return. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26 again says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Christ's people, the church, observe communion until he comes. Each communion service is prophetic. Prophetic is defined as accurately describing or predicting what will happen in the future. The Lord's Supper is prophetic in the sense that we are fulfilling his instructions regarding the future prophecy. The Lord's Supper is prophetic in the sense that we are declaring our faith in a future event. Unlike Houdini, this one, whose death we remember, is coming again. This was the promise of the angels to the apostles in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We're told that Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." Remembering the promise, every communion service is part of the countdown to Christ's coming. Paul Harvey told this true story on his radio program, which originally aired in 1977. He said, "It was gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken tier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, for nearly 30 years, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker would return, walking slowly and slightly stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. More than three decades earlier, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 aircraft to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress, the B-17 he was flying, became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, in a couple of life rafts, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water and the weather and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts. The largest raft was 9 by 5. Some of the sharks were 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. What does it matter if you remain safe from the sharks in your raft while you starve to death? 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot I referred to the captain as the pilot earlier, it was this man named Cherry, Captain William Cherry, read the service that afternoon. They had worship service. And he said, "We finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk," he said, "but it tapered off in the oppressive heat." He said, "With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off." And this is still Captain Rickenbacker talking. He said, "Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone else knew it too. Not one word was said. but peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that seagull. The gull meant food, if I could catch it. The seagull was uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land. Somehow, Captain Eddy caught the seagull. They ate its flesh, and they used its intestines for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because, if you will, a lone seagull offered itself as a sacrifice. And he never forgot, because every Friday evening about sunset on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, slightly bent. His bucket filled with shrimp was to feed the seagulls, to remember that one seagull, which on a day long past gave itself without a struggle to save the lives of the men in those rafts. This is what Christ did for us on the cross. The Lord's Supper, communion, should help us live daily in the light of the cross, reflecting on what the Lord did for us. Communion should help us live purer lives, reminding us of redemption, reminding us of the resurrection, reminding us of Christ's return. We should look forward to the next time we meet to commune with Christ and with one another in this memorial, celebrating Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection, and proclaiming his return.